Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
He's a God of abundant life, overflowing life. Amen. He wants us overflowing with life. His life is a good life. I said it's a good life. It's a holy life. It's a lovely life. It's a life of love. God wants you feeling his love. He wants you knowing that he loves you. Yes, he does. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to be convinced of his love for you. He doesn't want you to have any doubt about it. This is what causes people to worry. This is what causes people to get depressed. Last week, we were praying for people that were experiencing despair in their life. They were despairing of life. And why were they despairing of life? Because they lost sight of the love of God. They lost sight of God's love for them. Because to despair is to be in a state of hopelessness. You're in a state of hopelessness about your life. And when you understand God's love for you, man, you cannot get into hopelessness. You can absolutely not get into despair. He tells you over here in Romans, the 5th chapter. Why don't you go there with me this morning? Romans chapter 5, talking about the love of God. Romans 5 and in we're going to go back here to verse 3. And not only that, but we glory. Better translation would be rejoice. We rejoice in tribulations. We rejoice in tribulations. When was the last time you rejoiced, had joy in tribulation? You were uncomfortable, didn't feel good. Everything outwardly was tight and uncomfortable, but yet on the inside you had joy. Ha ha ha. And you chose to yield to that joy instead of the feelings you felt in your flesh, and so you rejoiced. Amen. You rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope. Remember, we were just talking about hopelessness. Hopelessness, despairing of life. You can't despair of life when you understand God's love for you. When you understand God's love for your life. How can you despair of life when you understand God's love for your life? You can't. And so he says, now hope does not disappoint. That would be despair. Hope disappointed. Disappointed. Lost your hope. That would be despair. He says, now hope does not disappoint because there is no despair. There is no disappointment of our hopes. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Poured out. Everybody say poured out. God has poured out his love. Woo! Ha! Hallelujah! He has poured out his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. That is reality. This is what he's done. He has poured it out. And faith believes that. Faith believes, receives, and welcomes that. And rises up and walks in that. And is able to look at tribulation. Able to look at the trials of life and say, God loves me. People left you, people disappointed, people betrayed. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And his love will never let me down. His love will never disappoint. God's love will never disappoint you. So you can have hope. You can have hope that is endless. You don't ever have to have a hopelessness about you. Never get into a place where you've lost hope. No, a loss of hope is a loss of vision. You've lost your vision of God's love for you. So you have to keep yourself in faith concerning God's love. There's a lot of unlovely things around us all the time. Preaching to us all the time. Preaching to us all the time. And so we have to preach to ourselves. We have to rise up and remind ourselves, aren't you so glad God gave you a book like this called the Bible that is His Word? And you can open that up and you can encourage yourself in the Lord your God. You can encourage yourself in the love of God. And grow up. We need to grow in our understanding of God's love for us. And as we grow in our understanding of God's love for us, then we're going to grow in our love for life and in our love for one another. Did you get that? As we grow in God's love, for understanding God's love for us, we're going to grow in our love for life. We're not going to walk around going, man, I hate life. Can't stand life. Can't stand my life. Man, my life's pitiful. Man, look at my life. There's going to be none of that. When you understand how much He loves you, as you grow in that, you're going to learn to love life more and more and more. Because He made it all. Life is good in love. I said, life is good in love. When you're in love with God, which is the result of understanding His love for you, because the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. So as we understand His love for us, we fall in love with Him. That's just like a reaction. When you really see it. See, a lot of times we hear, but we don't listen. A lot of times we see, but we don't really get it. We don't get the revelation of it with our heart. Yes, God loves me. Yes, that's nice. And it never really penetrates beyond the brain, the mind. It really never dawns on our hearts. And so it doesn't become real to you until it really dawns on your heart. That's why you need to ask God. You know, with the faith that you do have, with the knowledge that you do have, you need to ask God, Lord, grant me revelation of your love. Give me more understanding of your love. And when you understand that understanding his love is at the very root of loving life, enjoying life, and loving others, not being ticked off, for lack of words, not being agitated, irritated, by everybody. Everybody just irritates me. Man, that's a lousy place to live. I said, that's a lousy place to live. Everybody just irritates me. People are just frustrating to be around. I just wish I could go crawl in a hole somewhere and just be all by myself. Well, see, that's a person that doesn't, they're not seeing it. They're not, they don't got it. They don't have the understanding of it that God is love, and He loves them. Because if they did, you would love the life that He's given you. You'd have plenty of hope. You'd have overflowing hope. You'd be able to say, if God is for me, and love says He is, if God is for me, who could be against me? I don't care who it is. Who could be against me? Who can stop me from my purpose? Who can stop me from being a success and achieving the perfect will of God for my life? Who can stop me if God is for me? Who? Who can be against me? Who can be against me? No intimidation whatsoever. No fear, no worries about anyone. Right? Paul said, when he going through all the trials and tests that he went through, he said, I've been knocked down. But he said, not knocked out. Not knocked out. I'm still conscious. He took some good licks. He took some good shots. I mean, the devil gave Paul his best shot more than one time. But Paul just kept bouncing right back up because he knew God is for me. God is for me. God's not against me. And if he's for me, I'm going to go over in life. I'm going to go over in life. Jesus said it was understanding love and walking in love towards one another that we would be distinguished from all other peoples on the face of the earth. He said it was by our love for one another that we would be recognized as his disciples. That's what makes us different from all the other religious people in the world. You know, it's interesting. All the other religions in the world, the more you get into it, the more you get into religion, the more you get into gods who aren't gods, you get into prophets that really aren't prophets, the more unlovely you become. The more judgmental and critical and ugly you become towards others. The further you get from the true living God, who is love, by pursuing other gods who are not really God, the more of a frustrated, angry person you become. The more introverted and into yourself you become. That's why there are so-called churches all over the world that are full with people that are backstabbing one another, despising one another. There's lots and lots of folks that they say, "Nah, I'm done with church. I don't want to go." Just a bunch of hypocrites. Of course, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 that you who judge are guilty of the same thing, so you're probably at home all into yourself. And that's why you don't want to be around others. But I don't doubt for a second that you've experienced all the hypocrisy that religion has to offer, that religious people have to offer. Because the more you just get into religion, the more you really just get into yourself. And if you really get into doctrine, it's amazing how more legalistic people become, judgmental and critical. I mean, some of the most zealous people of our day, zealous for their God, zealous to worship their God, please their God, they will strap themselves with explosives and try to kill as many people as they can. I mean, they hate you. They hate America. They hate these people. They hate those Jews over there. I mean, hatred. And these guys worship. I mean, they will out-worship most Christians. They all gather. Let me kill you now. The more they worship, the more they want to kill people. The more we worship, the more we want to help people. Come on, we just want to strap ourselves with as much anointing as possible to go in there and destroy sickness and disease off of people and remove the darkness and set captives free. We become terrorists to the devil. Time to rise up and terrorize demons. By going out and destroying yokes and removing burdens. Come on, somebody. The more we get into Jesus, the more we get into the body of Christ. The more we get into one another. The more we see life as precious. We see individuals as precious, as valuable, as important. That is a disciple. That is the distinguishing difference between you and all the religious people of this world. It's love. It's love. I said it's love. To be growing up in the knowledge of him is to be growing in love. Love for life. Growing in love for life. Growing in love for one another that God has created. How many disciples of Christ do we have in here this morning? I mean, this is something that it says, they will know. They will know you are my disciples because of this. They'll know it. Oh, thank God. Somebody say, God loves me. He has poured his love into my life. Hallelujah. He has poured his love into our life. Now, we were looking over here in 1 John chapter 4. We went through almost the, I think we went through the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 4. But I just want to hit a couple verses in review. And here in 1 John chapter 4, let's go down to verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." So again, if you know God, what do we see coming out of your life? We see what? We see what? We see love. That's what we see. He says, if you're born of God, if you know God, then you love. You love. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And remember, we looked in the Greek at these words here used in 1 John 4 for the word love. And there was more than one word in the Greek for the word love. And the first one where it says, let us love one another, that love means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. So it's talking about an affectionate love. We're to have an affectionate love for one another. Grow in our affections for each other. To welcome. In other words, we open our lives up to one another. We welcome one another into our world. Welcome one another into our world. To welcome. To entertain. Entertain. That's talking about hospitality. That's talking about having guests over. That's talking about having a fellowship with one another. You're entertaining guests. You're showing yourself hospitable. You're entering into fellowship with one another, being affectionate towards one another. Friend, this is not just some kind of little side thing that it would be good to do. This is at the very core of Christianity. It's at the very core of what you are, a Christian, a child of God. He says, this kind of love, this affectionate, welcoming, hospitable, entertaining love should be a part of us if we claim to be born again and to be people that know God. If we know Him, then we're growing in this. See, because we love God. Because we see how much He loves us. And now that's making us not only love Him, but love everything about Him. Love everything about life. Life is precious because God is precious. Everything becomes special to you. You learn to stand still and smell the roses. You learn to stand still and consider the wonderful works of God. You stop and you look and you take time. You recognize, wait, this is precious. This is a precious moment. This is a precious person. This is a precious opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. We're not just running through life, taking one another, taking everything for granted. And there's a lot of folks, that's how we're living in our society. Folks are just running through life, racing through life from one thing to the next. And then they get home, close the door behind them, and go into seclusion. When they come out of seclusion, they're really still in seclusion because they're not welcoming, they're not open, they're not entertaining, they're not affectionate, they're not feeling it towards anybody else. They're just running through life. Yeah, hey, thanks, great to meet you, thanks, good, help me, thank you, praise God, I'll take that money, thank you so much. How much does it cost me? And we're doing business. We're doing business. We're doing business. And a lot of times folks come home, they can come home to a full house of family members, and they're still just doing business. And a lot of folks are just in their way. You're an obstacle. Please leave me alone. I've had a long day. And there's no standing still and considering. No taking time with what's precious, what's valuable. Because they haven't taken time first to understand that there's a God who is very busy. Some people think God's got a lot going on. I said, God's got a lot on His plate. He has got stuff going on. He said, every hair of your head is numbered. I mean, in other words, he's got it all filed. There is a book in heaven on every human being. Every detail of your life is being recorded. God is watching over us. His thoughts towards you are more numerable than all the grains of sand on the seashore. And it's not just you, but it's you, 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 you. Man, that's a lot of thoughts. He's got a lot on his mind. Doesn't he? He's got a lot on his mind. He's thinking thoughts about us. He's keeping things going. He's upholding everything. He's working 24/7. Jesus said over, I think it was in John 5, he said, the Father and I have been working until now. They've been working. They've been laboring. They've been going and going and going. And yet, in all this work, in all this going and going and going, God is ready to meet with you. All you got to do is turn aside. All you got to do is just draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Well, I don't know. God's just so busy, you know, and I don't want to bother him with my prayers. He's not like you. Your prayers are not bothering him. He wants to hear you. He values you. He values your voice. He wants to take time and converse with you. He would love to listen to you. You know, some people, all they want to do is talk. You get around them, you think, let's have some fellowship, and then you just sit there and go. And they say, and they go, they'll jump from one subject to another without even taking a breath. You can't even get a word in. I don't know what I'm talking about. They just went from subject to the next. They just keep going and going and going. You think, my God, why am I hanging out with this person? Why did I call you? Why did I say hello to you? Yeah, you walk up and say, hi, how you doing? Oh, let me tell you. In 1920, I was, and then the 30s came, and it wasn't roaring. And, you know, they just go right on, you know, they just keep going. And then that's the person you want to avoid next time. Right? How many people know love doesn't do that? Love does not dominate a conversation. Because love is just not all self-consumed. It's not just thinking about expressing itself, venting its own thoughts and feelings. Love takes an interest in you, takes an interest in others. And it says, what's going on in your life? Let me hear from you. I like to hear what's important to you. It takes time. It enjoys others. It will share its heart, but it enjoys sharing and hearing from other people, hearing their heart, hearing what they're going through, hearing what they're experiencing in life. That's love. Amen. I said, and that makes fellowship really nice, don't it? But God is so good. He's so amazing that folks can come to him with no intentions of shutting up long enough in prayer to actually hear from him. But they will come to him and go, God, God, and God. And they'll just go on and on and on and on and on and on. You know what's amazing about God? He keeps listening. He enjoys you so much, he will listen to you. He'll just listen to you, even though he knows the conversation is one-sided. It's not the best for you when your prayer life conversation is one-sided. That's not the best for you. God knows that. But he'll listen to you without even interrupting. He'll just go, wow, wow. And he goes, and so thank you, amen. And you walk out of prayer, you know, and God's like, it's beautiful hearing from you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. That's how he is. Isn't that amazing? And he'll be there next time. Next time that same rambler, a prayer, shows up, you know, in their place of ramble in prayer. And they show up there before the Lord. God will be there. He'll be there. He's a good listener. God is a good listener. Why? Because he loves you. He loves just listening to you. Do you believe that? I'm giving you the word this morning. He tells us, be quick to hear, slow to speak. He wouldn't tell us to do something that he himself doesn't do. He wants us to walk in his footsteps. The Bible says that we're to be imitators of God. So if he's telling us, be slow to speak, quick to hear, what do you think he is? Slow to speak, quick to hear. He's a good listener. He's watching. The Bible says his eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. He is looking. He is listening. He is watching for you. He is just waiting for opportunity to invade your life, to manifest himself, to change things for you. Come on. This is God. I mean, that's how he is. Jesus gives us the example of the father in the prodigal son story. The prodigal son, you know, he says, Father, give me what's due me. Give me my inheritance. And remember now, the father in the story, the prodigal son, we know is a type of Father God. Right? And we're his sons. We're his daughters. So he comes and says, give me my inheritance. God gives it to him. The father gives it to him. Even though the kid's not right. He's going to use it on selfish means. He's not right. Father still gives it to him. And he takes it and he squanders it. He just spends it all on riotous living and then just loses everything. And then the day comes, man, he's down there. He's working for some farmer out there feeding the pigs. And he's thinking, these pods look good. And he's ready to just eat what the pigs are eating because he's so desperate. He's so hungry. He's hit such a low place. But you know the story. He rises up and it comes to himself. He comes to his senses. And he realizes, I had it so much better back with my father. I mean, my father's hired servants have it better than I do. This is what I'll do. I'll go back. I'll say, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against God. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. That's all. Just make me one of your hired servants. That'd be great. So he's got this thing, and he's reciting it, and he's heading home. And while he's yet afar off, the Father sees him. Come on. The Father sees him, and what does he do? You bum. Don't you come back here after you wasted everything I worked for my whole life. And I mean that father, he just ripped into him. No. Now see, a lot of natural fathers that don't know this love will do that. And there's folks that have had that done to them. But you need to get your minds renewed this morning. Your Father God is not like that. When he saw his son yet afar off, he went running to him. He put his arms around him. And before that boy, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. He's like, shut up. The father's putting a robe on him. The father's putting his signet ring on his finger. The father's bringing him in the house. He says, kill the fatted calf. My son has come home. He's come back to me. Wow. He kills the fatted calf, has a big celebration over this boy that was brought up in a perfectly good home and rebelled against his authority. Friends, exactly how God is. God is looking to forgive. He is looking to wash people clean. He is looking to restore people. And if you've messed up and you've fallen, you still have no excuse for hopelessness, because that love of God, if you'll turn back to him, I mean, in just a moment, he will take you and he'll lift you up higher than you were before. Not holding anything you've done against you. Oh, man. not holding a thing against you. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means he forgives you of what you confess, what you're aware of that you need to confess, and he can't stop there. He goes ahead, and because you humbled yourself to confess what sins you knew you committed, he went and he just cleansed you from all unrighteousness, even the stuff you weren't aware you did wrong, that you did wrong. Do you have confidence in his cleansing mercy? Mercy to forgive you. Mercy to cleanse you. I don't care how far you've fallen. There's life after your flop-ups.
But it's such a bad flop-up.
Why are you magnifying the bad, the tribulation, and not glorifying, not worshiping, not magnifying and exalting the good love of God, that love that does not fail? Come on. That's why, you know, the Bible talks about praying with self-seeking motives. Self-seeking motives. But it goes on, it says, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. It doesn't say, let not that man think God ain't going to give him anything, which is how most people read it. It doesn't say, let not that man think God will not give him anything. No, it doesn't say that. It says, let not that man think that he'll receive. In other words, it affects your ability to receive. Why? Because you're not in faith. You're not in faith about the love of God. That's why you're all into yourself. Because you're all into yourself, you're not confident in the love of God. You're trying to get things for yourself, to consume on yourself, to take care of yourself. Because you don't know there's someone that's taking care of you. There's someone that's got you covered. I said there's someone that's got you covered. You don't have to worry, scrounge around trying to take care of yourself. You just got to get to know the God that'll fully take care of you. He will dress you up. He'll kill the fatted calf. He'll provide for you in the wilderness. He'll split the Red Sea. He'll do whatever needs to get done if only you can believe. So stop spending your time trying to defend yourself, protect yourself, provide for yourself, to make yourself happy, and using Christianity to try to make yourself happy and have all these self-seeking prayers which do not avail. Because there's no faith. There's no faith in his love. But come over here and build that faith. Most precious thing. Build your faith in this awesome, loving God who gives to all richly all things to enjoy. Who says, I will protect you, I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about what you have to say when you're standing up before the persecutors. He said, because your Father will give you what to say in that hour. You don't have to study, you don't have, you just have to get to know me. Be confident in me. The greatest thing we can have in life is a confidence in the love of God. Confidence in the love of God. How do we know we're growing in the love of God? We are falling in love with life. Fall in love with God, fall in love with life, fall in love with one another. Getting out of selfishness, getting into rest. Not worrying about ourselves, but knowing God's got me covered. God is providing for me. God is taking care of me. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, let us welcome one another, entertain one another, be fond of one another, be affectionate towards one another. Treat as dear one another. That's what we do. For love is of God. And everyone who loves like this is born of God and knows God. And knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Now that's not a statement of condemnation. What do I mean? That's not a statement of hopelessness. Well, if you're not loving, you don't know God. That's your answer. That's not a word of condemnation. Now, you don't know God. No, he's letting you know right here. We'll see, your problem is a failure to know. What you need to do is just build up your know. Build up your knowledge in God's love. In God's love for you. And then what's going to happen? You're going to love. Because here it says, he who does not love does not know God. So we just flip that around and says, he who loves knows God. He who loves knows God. So how many people want to love better? Know God. Know God. Verse 11, let's jump down there. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It don't work. You can't love God apart from loving one another. Now again, love is something we grow in. Remember Romans 5:5? The love of God has been poured out. The love of God has been poured out. Well, that tells us right there that love can come in different measures. It can be poured out. It can be measured to us abundantly. So this love has been poured out. Now to grow in our understanding and knowledge of this love so that we're walking in this love for God, love for life, love for one another. Again, that is something that grows in measures. Measures. We're growing. We're growing. We need to be growing in this. Come on. We need to be growing. And this is great because it helps keep us from being self-deceived. See, this guy's deceived. He says, man, I love God, but it's those people down there at the church. I hate that pastor. A lot of folks don't say hate, even though they have hate in their heart. I just don't like them. But see, there's a hatred there. See, but they think they love God. There's a lot of folks that think they love God. There's people they actually believe by taking an aircraft and driving it into a building and killing thousands of people, including themselves, that when they wake up, they're going to be in paradise. It's going to be all kinds of people with tambourines coming towards them. Come to the throne of God, you hero of the faith. You've killed thousands of people, you hater of life. Come. So they're going to follow this great procession. Yes, I know. I am wonderful. And they're going to go right up in there, and then God's going to give them all their rewards. Man, they're so deceived. They hate people. Hate people. But they love God. They love God. What a deception. But of course, that's on an extreme level. There's a much lower level too. I mean, there's just people, they just living their nice, comfortable life, going through life thinking, yes, I love God, God loves me. But they're isolated, they're all into themselves, just caught up in themselves. And if they have a love for God, you don't see much of it. But thank God we can come back to the Word and get our eyes washed out and see, oh, I really feel zealous for God, but how's that translating among men? How's that translating among other people? Oh, you know what? I need to press in. I need to press into this. I need to get greater revelation. I need to grow in this. I'm not as big and as spiritual as I thought I was. Because people irritate me. See, when people are irritating you, and if you're easily irritated, see, then you're not this big, built, solid, strong, spiritual giant. You understand? You're not. So thank God we can go over and say, you know what? I need to get some more protein powder. I need to get in this Word right here. I need help me, Jesus! Get over here and get yourself filled up in the love of God. Get yourself built up in the love of God. Can you say amen? Thank God. Love for God, fellowship with one another. Love of God, fellowship with one another. Can I go to one more scripture and then we'll pick up next time, Lord willing? And I believe he is, because this is something he's really wanting to drive home. He's really wanting us to get a hold of this now. It's time for us to step over into this now. 1 John chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. The life was manifested. There it is. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Now notice that. We're preaching eternal life to you, and what's that going to cause? What are we expecting to happen? You're going to enter into fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now remember, I said the word love can be translated welcome, entertain, affection, basically fellowship with one another, right? That's what that love is. So here he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This sounds exactly like we just looked at over in chapter 4, where he said, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And again, that love is a fellowship love. He says, I love God, but he don't fellowship with his brethren, he's a liar. Here, he says, if you say you fellowship with God, but walk in darkness, you're a liar. See the similarity there? And he does not practice the truth. Everybody say practice. Friend, I got news for you. Practice makes perfect. Practice, practicing the truth, practicing the love of God, practicing the presence of God, practicing prayer. Says, I just don't know how to pray. I don't think I'm good at praying. Just practice. Come as you are. That's the lovely, beautiful thing about God. Come as you are. Even if you don't feel like you're making the connection, I got news, good news for you. He's connected. You're struggling. Your faith is wavering. But guess what? I'm letting you know today, God says, just come and practice on me. Practice on me. Practice your praying. Sure, it might even be selfish, but practice. Practice your worship. Practice. Practice the truth. Practice the word. Practice love. Practice a love for God. I just don't feel it, God. Well, practice it. Practice until you start feeling it. Come on. Practice until you start getting good at it. Just start practicing drawing near to God. Start practicing. Love you. Love you. Can't see you. Don't feel you. And I'm a real flesh creature, and feeling and seeing is important to me. But I love you. 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 Oh, you good God. You died for me. You went to the cross for me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You did that for me. I feel numb towards it. It really doesn't move me. But I you did it for me, and I'm thinking about it right now. I'm just, you can be just so open with God. You don't have to come and play, my Father. You can just come before him and say, Father, I feel like a flesh creature right now, but I thank you that you love me just as I am. And I come and I draw near to you according to your word, and I thank you that you hear me. Oh, God, thank you. You just come as you are. He'll meet you where you're at. Why? Because he's good. Because he loves you. He's love. He is love, and he loves you. Amen. And his love does not fail. He's not growing weary with you. He's not growing tired with you. He's not fed up with you. He's not done with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never give up on you. Practice. Practice the truth. Practice this love of God. And what's going to happen? You're going to grow in it. And you're going to become good at it. Start reaching out. Get out of your comfort zone. Start reaching out to one another. Start meeting some people. Start welcoming some people into your life. Amen. A little here, a little there. Let's practice. Let's practice. If you say, oh, I'm going to go greet and meet this person over here, and it just turns into a one-sided conversation, and you're thinking, my Lord Jesus, you're practicing. You're practicing listening skills. You're practicing being able to enjoy the one-sided conversation. You're practicing. It won't hurt you. It'll build you up and make you strong spiritually. Can you say amen? And man, to grow in this love, to become perfect in this love of God, is to love life, love one another, see good days. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that how you want to live your life? Loving life. Come on, loving life, loving people, seeing good days. Isn't that what you want? Praise God, then let's rise up and do it like we've never done it before. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.